independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Rand Paul's been pretty much against this version of health care reform from the very beginning, at least when it got into the hands of his fellow senators. But he believes that the changes being floated by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell make the bill even worse. And he talks about a complete repeal of Obamacare. He said that is something that he and his colleagues campaigned upon. It's what they've promised. And he believes that this bill does not deliver on that promise.
Does it deliver on the promise, or does it not deliver on the promise, this health care thing?
No, can't be all things to all people. How many times do I have to tell people that? Can't be all things to all people. You're not going to get the ultra-conservatives. You're not going to get the moderates. You're not going to... Trying to give each one of them a small piece of the pie, it's not going to work. It's not. This thing is, you know, I started looking at it this morning and he started going through it. And by the time you get through part of it, it is, you're just thinking to yourself, it looks eerily similar to this thing called the ACA or Obamacare. Yet at the same time, it does some stuff that I kind of like. But does it, you know, do you go too far? Do you not go far enough? Do you listen to the CBO? The CBO's numbers are always off. They're horrible. They're horrible. Their guesstimations never work because they're a government, because they're in the government, right? Government's guesstimations are the worst. Still, here we are. Here we are today. Yet at the same time, while this debate rages on, it was on the floor today, you got everybody out there just doing muckety mucks. This thing today is going to kill everybody. 450 million Americans will die today because of this. And other people on other continents and in other regions of the outer reaches of space will probably die because Americans hate people from Click Clack. Like that's what he's going to say, right? That's Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer and all of them. But the truth is, what we got, it ain't working.
Obamacare's years-long hurdle toward collapse is rapidly approaching its seemingly inevitable conclusion. Total meltdown.
Total meltdown.
I'm melting. Oh, God, no. Yes.
So there's got to be a fix. But what is the fix? What is the fix? That's the question that we need to start asking us, Americans. What is the fix? Who's entrepreneurial enough to get something done? You want to be a trillionaire? This is it right here. Or if you want to be a one-term senator, a congressperson, and you're willing to charge at this headlong, and you're willing to do everything in your power to get something through that will not appease everybody, because there's always going to be people that are pissed off and upset and feel that they've been left out and they are singled out because they're black, they're white, they're poor, they're tall, they're fat, they're thin, they're gay, they're straight. It doesn't matter. There's always somebody who's going to feel they're left out. But if you want to take this head on, it's there. It's there for the taking. I wish some of these politicians had the cojones enough to say, you know what? I've lived a good life doing this. And there's right things to do. And we can put our heads together. And we can come up with something that is comprehensive, that will actually work, that will stop people from going bankrupt, that will give them the care that they need when they truly need it. And at the same time, give people options outside of what we're doing. It's going to have to meld the two. It really is. They're going to have to meld the two together at some point in time. And you may not be a hero today, but 15 years from now, 20 years from now, history is going to judge you. Don't worry about today. And that's the frustration. You've got to be willing to say, I'm throwing it all in. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do this fix. And do the best you can. And gather support from both sides of the aisle and say, look, we may be going it alone and we may get our asses handed to us by our own party, because that's the big fear. If you're in a situation where you're up for a re-election bid, if you will, and you decide you're going to go for it, the truth is, a lot of these guys and gals, they're in situations where, because of the gerrymandering and the districting, they got nothing to worry about. But their worry would come in if they did something that upset the apple cart, took away the trough of money that is getting fed to all sides, and actually did something productive. That money's going to flow to people that would challenge them. You got to be willing to do it. Not many of these people are willing to sacrifice that. Not many. Some may, but not many. But for all intents and purposes, what we're going to find is what Ron Paul is saying. This is pretty much the same old same.
The bill they put forward keeps the majority of the Obamacare taxes, keeps the vast majority of the Obamacare regulations, keeps the majority of the Obamacare subsidies, and creates a brand new insurance bailout fund.
Yeah, that's what it is. There's some good things, you know, some smaller, skimpier, bare bones minimum kind of CYA stuff that Ted Cruz got in there. There's a few things that are okay, but for all intents and purposes, you know, you put the lipstick on a pig, but we still know that's a pig. You could tell me, no, it's an otter. No, that's a pig. No, that's an otter. No, I'm pretty good with my animals. That's a pig. That's what's going on. Not to be outdone, though, if you're a Democrat, you've got to come out. You don't ever want to be seen, you know, conversing with the other side. So you've got to come out and absolutely just say the most outlandish things, because much like, and that's the funny thing. Listen to what Conor McGregor does when he does this stuff. You know, I'm going to come out there soon, and what I'm going to do to you, Floyd, it's going to kill you. I'm going to punch you so hard, you're going to go back in time. That's how hard I'm going to hit you. You may explode when I hit you with your little corn head, right? Or whatever he said. It's core, I think, but I swear it's corn. So that's what he does. You say outlandish things and people pay attention. So you've got to go to the floor and you have to say crazy outlandish things.
Senate Republicans introduced their new version of Trump Care. The meat of this bill is exactly the same as it was before. And in some ways, they've somehow managed to make it even worse.
Wow, they somehow managed to do that? Whoa. They did? They didn't make it any better? Well, we haven't seen the CBO, but they've made it worse? Well, Chuck, you can't just throw that out there. Please continue. Soundbite, my man.
The bill still sends out-of-pocket costs for the average American soaring. It takes a sledgehammer to Medicaid.
Well, we don't really know that, and we haven't seen the numbers, so you're throwing stuff out there. But the good news is you can throw things out there because nobody ever calls anybody on any of the crap that they do. Show me those numbers. Where's the CBO numbers? You say it's worse. What if it's better? Come on. Come on. I'd like to know, Chuck. I'm here. I'm right in front of you. Let's do it. Let's talk. I'm ready. I'm absolutely ready. Oh, and one more. And this one's aimed at you, Theodore Cruz.
The new Cruz Amendment is a dangerous bait and switch that will lead to junk insurance plans that no American would want.
No American would want. Well, some Americans do want it. Texas just wrote in, he goes, and said that, hey, why don't you talk about the fact that the mandate's gone? Well, and that changes our relationship. Yeah, the mandate's gone. But people are still going to whine. People are still going to bitch. People are going to, look, just having the mandate gone, and this thing's not even close to being done, by the way. Not even close to being done. I knew the day that that any of our government, right or left, got into our health care, that it changed everything. Great that the mandate's gone if it goes away. Use a big if, because remember who's helping write these things? The insurance companies, and they need those mandates in there to make sure they have enough people, healthy people especially, cover those sick people. But it doesn't really change anything because they're in there now. It doesn't matter that the mandate's gone. They're now in there. They're now subsidizing people. The relationship is now, they are now in this. Democrats aren't doing anything to fix it. Republicans are trying, but a lot of times the Republicans grab something to make it worse. I don't know how you can make it any more worse, but they're trying their damnedest. And now we're at the point where we may not even get a repeal and replace. We may get a fix. I don't know what it's going to look like at the end, but I do know this thing that we have been seeing today doesn't please anybody. For some, it goes too far. For others, it doesn't go far enough. And we're going to be sitting here in a few weeks, few months, debating it again. And next thing you know, Mitch McConnell's going to go on over and he's going to sit down and he's going to say, hey, you guys, you, Democrats, we got to do something. They don't want to play. So what is it going to take to get some of you to come over to my side? What am I going to have to leave in here? And what are you willing to live with so we can get this thing done? 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chatbensonshow.com. You can text the program, as always, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You, hiring, great, fantastic. Doing what you've done? Not so great. Well, let ZipRecruiter help you. ZipRecruiter.com is amazing. Unlike any of these other wackadoo sites out there, ZipRecruiter's technology separates them. It's not a one-off. 100-plus job sites with a single click. 100-plus job sites with a single click. Imagine that. Then their technology takes over. A lot of these other sites, what do they depend on? Candidates finding you. Not like that with ZipRecruiter. They actively search to help the qualified candidates find your job opening rather than the job candidates finding you. That's what's amazing. Yeah, that's what separates them. And they've got an easy-to-use dashboard, and it is easy. You can rate, screen, and hire right from there. 80% of people who post on ZipRecruiter within the first 24 hours get a qualified candidate like that. That's what's incredible about ZipRecruiter. Doesn't matter the size of your company. Doesn't matter. Small, medium, large, huge. They've got the right candidate for you. So what are you doing? Post your job for free today. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. You post your job for free today. This time tomorrow, you may have that perfect candidate. Come Monday, they could be working with you. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. Today, post your job for free. Shia LaBeouf, what's next in the world of wacky craziness and watching people melt down? Chad Benson Show.
He's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What did I do, sir?
I have rights.
I'm an American. You got me in my hotel, arrested me in my hotel for doing what, sir?
Let's go.
Yo, you really got these cuffs on me heavy, bro.
I'll fix you.
Let me out.
Listen, can we talk, me and you?
No, we can't talk nothing.
Listen, I'm not the one that arrested
you. American.
Okay.
I'll pay my taxes. Get these shits off my fucking arms.
So we're not going to have a conversation?
No. Okay. You're going to put these shits off my arms or you be fucking fucked.
The cuffs are too tight. Why am I in custody?
What's next for Shia LaBeouf? How about that yesterday? I said at some point in time there'll be an apology statement and then there'll be announcement that he has issues. And, of course, sure enough, he came out. And I think he does. I think the guy definitely is battling some demons that are deep. You get people who are creative, and that's a lot of what you see in their world. They get creative at such a level that sometimes it's amazing. But sure enough, he said he had hit rock bottom and that, you know, he is, I'm pretty sure he's embarrassed.
Shia LaBeouf isn't shying away from another apology for his behavior. The actor released a statement saying, "I am deeply ashamed of my behavior and make no excuse for it. I am certain that my actions warrant a very sincere apology. My outright disrespect for authority is problematic, to say the least, and completely destructive, to say the worst. It is a new low, a low I hope is a bottom." Shia admits that he's battling addiction publicly and wants to focus on sobriety to help prevent further incidents in the future.
Here's the thing about the battling of addiction. It just goes to show you that addiction is everywhere. It doesn't care who you are, doesn't care what color you are, doesn't care who you love, what God you worship. It doesn't care about how rich you are, how poor you are. It cares about nothing. And the difference between a lot of us out there who've battled addiction, no matter what it is, you know, whether it's food or whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever, is we do it usually in the privacy of our own home. Right? Maybe a few friends may know about it, or we may have an incident once in a while that gets out amongst our little neighbors and whatnot. He does it in front of the world, like a lot of these people do. And I don't know if this is the end or not, but he is not the first, and he will not be the last person to have a public issue and situation like this. What's next for him is treatment and, God willing, some sobriety, and it'll get his life back on track. But what's next for addiction in this country is it's out there and it's heavy, and we have to figure out a way to deal with it in a much different way than we have in the past. Because we've taken on the war on drugs and many other things in the same old way, and I noticed that we're losing the battle over and over and over again, and it's time that we come at it in a much different way, and that includes the battle with addiction and how we even approach that. That's what's next for addiction and poor Shia LaBeouf, who leaves us nothing but laughter when he does go on these crazy, wild rants. I'm just putting it out there. Joining us next, Mark Tapson. Great article he wrote about conservatives and about an article that lectures how conservatives should be more caring, how they need to have more empathy. And it's funny because you hear that from the left all the time, how conservatives have very little empathy and they really just hate anything that's not them. Well, that's a bunch of crap. He's going to join us next, editor-in-chief of Truth Revolt, Mark Tapson, straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You know, it's, you read some of these articles and you just sit there and you scratch your head. And there's a great article out by Mark Tapson, and it's called The Compassionate Left and the Cold-Hearted Right. But it's an answer to really another article on the Huffington Post that is just, it makes you scratch your head how some people just are able to go out there and they think, well, this is what I think, and so this must be absolutely true. Joining us now is Mark Tapson, the amazing author of that great article. We appreciate you coming on today, Mark. You know, that whole thing that Kayla Chadwick wrote is just, it just boggles the mind that people think that way.
Boggles the mind indeed. Yes, it definitely does. But, you know, this is a very common misperception on the part of the left, which is why I wrote this article in response to it, because even though she's not, you know, a well-known political commentator, and there you find essays like this all over the Huffington Post, I figured that it was worth responding to because her perspective is such a common one from the left. And I'm speaking very generally now, but it's very common for the left to perceive the right as being heartless, unfeeling bastards, and that the difference between us is that they care, the left cares, and we don't. Not that we have different solutions to the same problems, but that we just don't care.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. It's like they think we wake up in the morning and the first thing we do is like, man, I'm going to go outside and kick a bunny, kill a dog, and find out how I could shackle people up who are poor.
That sounds extreme, but that's exactly right. It sounds extreme to us, of course, but that is exactly how they think. And, you know, I can vouch for this. I mean, not that many years ago, I was a Democrat myself, although I wasn't a very political person. I certainly was not a radical leftist, but I was kind of, you know, what we would consider what we would call a brainless leftist or a brainless Democrat. I just didn't care that much about politics, but I can tell you that the common assumption was that the right, and I even saw it this way until my eyes were open, that the right was essentially kind of greedy and unfeeling, and their solutions seemed designed to basically hurt the underprivileged and the poor and the needy and all this. And of course, that's not it at all. But they live in the left lives in quite a bubble in which they see themselves as very compassionate and saintly, in fact. And the right, by contrast, is flat out evil. Some more evil than others, but evil pretty much covers it.
Talking to Mark Tapson, editor in chief over there at Truth Revolt. You know, Mark, you talk about the right is just always evil and everything about them is evil. And the left has always done a great job of messaging, where I think a lot of times the right has done a horrible job at messaging. And that is really one of the issues I've always had with the right is, man, you've got a great message. The problem is the messengers are horrible at getting it out.
That is very true, and that's something we have to work on. The left, as you pointed out, they are experts at the culture. They're experts at messaging, as you put it, and at presenting themselves in a certain way that is culturally desirable. And the right, as you said, we're not very good at getting our message out. We need better cultural messengers, but you know, we're up against these experts. The left, they're experts at manipulating the language and at demonizing their opponents. And they've been demonizing us for so long that they themselves, they cannot see us in any other way. They can't see that, as I mentioned before, that we might just have different solutions to the same problems, but they see it as the fact that we just don't care at all. And so we're just wrong. And there's nothing we can do that would make sense to them. And the writer of this article for Huffington Post, she has basically, I mean, it just reeked of her exasperation with, as she put it, trying to convince the right that we should care about people. And of course, we do care about people, but our solutions are more practical and less feelings-based. Their solutions generally are to keep throwing money at things, and our solutions are more about, well, you know, I'll fall back on the old saying about giving a man a fish or teaching a man to fish. You know, you give him a man a fish and you feed him for a day and teach him to fish and he feeds himself for the rest of his life. And that's sort of our approach to solving these ills, like poverty and the healthcare issue and things like that. And the left doesn't see it that way. The left would rather lock people into cycles of dependency on the government and on leftist programs. And that's not really a helpful solution. That's actually harming more in the long run than helping.
You were so spot on there that's what that gets them caught up in the cycle of poverty and all this kind of things. And I've always looked at it as it's almost a very selfish way, as we're talking to Mark Tapson from Truth Revolt, is a very selfish thing, because I think a lot of what the left tends to do is they love to demonize the right and the rich and this, that, and the other, and patronize and victimize the people that are lesser, if you will, in their achievements in life. And in doing so, they make themselves feel good, but they never actually accomplish anything. And that's the thing that just sits there and makes me laugh. This isn't really about, hey, trying to help somebody. This is about them making themselves feel better.
That really is a lot of it. And it's demeaning, ultimately, to the people that they're trying to help. You know, we would rather—well, I'll give you an example from the article itself where she talked about One of the issues that she couldn't come to terms with conservatives is giving fast food workers a living wage. You know, the left sees this as a necessity, a living wage as a necessity for giving, say, fast food workers or minimum wage workers, helping them elevate their families out of poverty and all this, and that therefore the rest of us should make this minor sacrifice of paying for more expensive Big Macs, for example, to make that happen. But that makes Democrats feel good, and it makes them feel morally superior to conservatives who think that this is a bad, unworkable idea, because what actually happens, as we see in the news almost every day, is that these huge minimum wage rises do nothing but cut hours for workers or cut their jobs, which does not help at all, of course. It's actually, it's much worse for them than much worse for the workers than the Democrat solution. But it sounds so much more compassionate and so much more helpful to say, well, let's give them a higher minimum wage. You know, they need to, take care of their families and things. And that's not what that's not how the right sees it. The right would rather help these minimum wage workers out of that situation altogether rather than keep them locked into minimum wage demeaning, well, relatively demeaning minimum wage jobs for the rest of their lives. It just sounds so much more compassionate, and it's a much better message than the right.
It is, and that's what it is. It's about the messaging of it all. The article is called "The Compassionate Left and the Cold-Hearted Right." Mark Tapson joins us from Truth Revolt. Mark, as I look forward here, and you know whether it's healthcare or any of these things, the things I see are the exact same things that we're talking about here, but on instead of a micro level of one thing, a macro level, you look out there and you think, okay, you've got healthcare, you've got all of these things, and that are in front of us, taxes, all of this stuff. And I still see the messaging wrong, and I still see the way that the Democrats' messaging is going out there. You hate the poor. You only want to help the rich. Everybody's going to die because of you. Taxes are going to go up for the middle class and down for the rich. It's the same thing. You're going to throw people out of the country that are here doing nothing, and they tug at your heartstrings, never realizing that you've got to get out there and you have to match them in a way that their storytelling, you have to get out there and do the same thing, and yet they fail at it over and over again. And that is so frustrating when I see the Mitch McConnells. They can't match that because they're not storytellers.
Oh, you just, that's the word, storytellers. You nailed it, because it's really all about storytelling. Politics is about storytelling. And the left, as I said before, has mastered that. We're still trying to get a grip on it. But the right tends to be kind of locked into an almost apologetic mode instead of forcefully presenting our side of things and just hammering the left on how ineffective their programs have been for decades now. Instead of just hammering on them on their failures, we're too nice, we're too polite, we're just not aggressive enough in destroying the left's narrative and in demonstrating how our side has practical solutions that are better in the long run. It's going to take a lot of work on the part of up and coming politicians, I think, to master that kind of messaging. And it's going to take more aggressiveness on our side to get that messaging out there, but also to just destroy their message, because it's ripe for their message is ripe for the picking, because all we have to do is demonstrate how the left's policies for the last 50 or 60 years have done nothing to help the poor. They've done nothing to help minorities. If anything, they just kept them locked into a cycle of demeaning dependency. And so we need more aggressive storytelling on our side.
The article is called "The Compassionate Left and the Cold-Hearted Right." Mark Tapson is the author. You can check it out, and I love it. Feeling good versus doing good. Mark, we appreciate you coming on today from Truth Revolt, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, likewise. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's storytelling. You know, that's what I try to tell people when, you know, people say, well, you know, what is it that you do and stuff? You go, when you're on the radio, you go listen to the guys and the gals who are the greatest at what they do. They're able to engage people. Case in point, last night, Vince Scully got, like, I think the Lifetime Achievement Award at the ESPYs. He's the greatest baseball announcer in history. Not because he could paint a picture of balls and strikes, because those things happen intermittently throughout the game, if you really think about it. What he did was he was able to paint pictures in your mind about what was going on about the ball game. You learned little things. He was the greatest storyteller. Chuck Schumer tells a better story than Mitch McConnell. Facts, not feelings, will win in the end of the day. But sometimes to override people's feelings, you have to paint a picture so they understand what is happening. Where you can say, look, I love the fact that you want to help people that are struggling in life. But the best way to do that for the poor isn't by giving them more money. It's by getting into the communities and passing on the thing that will take them out of poverty into the middle class. And that is knowledge of how to get there. Give them a dollar today. It'll be gone tomorrow. Teach them how to create a dollar, then create another dollar, then create another dollar, and watch what happens. That is being compassionate. That is being understanding. But handing them a dollar is a way of saying, I want to do good, but I don't really want to do anything else besides that. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Tweet at us as well, at Chad Benson Show. Say, woo, Chad Benson Show. I love it. We'll call him Senator Rock. Kid Rock reiterating again. You think I'm kidding? I'm running for senator. I'm coming after Debbie Stabo's seat. This is no joke. This is no publicity joke. He is very active in politics. He is a friend of the president. Did not back down. A lot of people say, you should really step away. He's like, yeah, kiss my ass. You know what I think? You know who I am? My name is Kid. He doesn't care. Right? He does not care. It's getting crazy out there, people. Say, what? Could you imagine if Kid Rock was in the Senate? He would roll in like jeans, right? And he'd have like this long cape on, dressed kind of like Uncle Sam. And there'd be like three strippers behind him. I'd be like, what do you got? We're getting closer to Idiocracy every day. This is it. We're getting closer to Idiocracy every day. Mountain Dew Camacho, whatever his name was. That was the greatest. We're getting there. We're close. But he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. He really is. The guy's got it going. He is not an idiot. He isn't. But I'll take it every day of the week. Let's do it. Let's do it. And I think he could storytell. Oh, yeah. Senator Rock to you. Senator Rock, baby. It's coming. It's absolutely coming. Speaking of music, speaking of songs, if you didn't hear, we've got a new all-time viewed video on the tube.
Psy's Gangnam Style is no longer on the perch as the most watched video. YouTube video. No longer its most viewed. After about 5 years, it's been replaced by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth's See You Again. Both videos have been viewed about 2.9 billion times. The difference is when Psy's Gangnam Style did it 5 years ago, it broke the YouTube system and they had to completely reform it and actually add extra capacity.
How about that? New song. Charlie Puth, Wiz Khalifa, 2.6 billion views. 2.6 billion. That's a B. That's not a million. That is a lot. To give you an example, 6 is 600 million. That just throws that out there, right? Right in your face. 2.6 billion. Gangnam Style, though, did it quick, and that was like, man, that is just, that was, but this has taken a while. But still, it is the number one. And there's somebody out there that's going to break that. Some young, up-and-coming pop star that's going to break that. Somebody. Who is it? I don't know. I do not know. Could be me, because I'm young. And I'm awesome. And I got sweet dance moves. And who didn't want to see me do my thing? Text the program, 323-538-2423. Kid Rock and Chad Benson, what a ticket for the White House that would be. Tattoos and tatas, that would be our platform. Tattoos, tatas, and taxes. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.